Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Seriously, these brands are absolutely fantastic, and I really recommend you support them. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store. And learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to Trials to Triumphs. I'm Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins, but you can call me ABFJ. This week, my Dear White People co-star, my true friend, the Reggie to my Joelle, actor Marquis Richardson, talks to me about shedding old mindsets and embracing freedom. One of the hardest things we'll ever learn to do in life is to let go of what's familiar. But shedding is an essential part of our growth. Whether it's releasing people, places, habits, or things that no longer serve us, shedding is a necessary process to move more freely and confidently in our lives. Releasing old habits and mindsets can really be tough, but my conversation with Marquis reminded me how important it is to give ourselves grace as we grow.
My freedom is a choice every day, and sometimes I forget. Sometimes I take 5 steps forward, and then I'll take 10 steps back and lock myself up in this cage thing. But I do know that when I do feel free or remember that I am free and a freestanding man and a person, I can do whatever it is that I want to do.
Letting go of old ways of being takes effort, intentionality, and courage. When we peel back our layers and allow ourselves to grow, the person beneath the surface is always far stronger and freer than who we are today. Every day, we have the opportunity to choose freedom. So choose to be courageous and believe that the best you is on the other side of your growth. And in our Sankofa moment, Marquis reveals the talented activist he would have wanted as a co-star.
I love her voice. I just loved her spirit, her energy, her work, her craftsmanship, her just seemed like dedication to humanity.
Hi, Marquis. Welcome to the pod.
Hi, Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins, 511 names. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here, my friend. Logan was my first interview for this season, so it's really cool to have you on now. Yeah.
I know.
So let's get into it. I want to start with an icebreaker question. Are you down?
I love ice.
Do you? I didn't know that about you.
Not on my body, though. Not on my body.
Okay. What film or television show can you watch over and over again?
Misery. It's a film I've been watching since maybe I was a little after four years old. Mm. Misery, Kathy Bates, and R.I.P. The James, yes. Mr. James, James Caan.
Yes, James Caan,
yeah. That, Pet Sematary, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, American Psycho. There's a common thread here.
You like the darky dark stuff, a little like, I like but not too dark.
Crazy whites. Yeah. I love the crazy white mess. Yeah, I love it.
Marquis, I have to say, knowing you says a lot about you. It actually explains a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, I love that. Marquis, tell us, how did we meet?
Ooh, let's see. Back in 1892, I forgot the exact first time we met, but I'll just say the village of, you know, the black people that be out here in L.A. doing things. And this was Dear White People of it all. But we met before.
It was pre. We met pre Dear White People, the movie. I think it was probably, I'm going to go with like 2012.
2012, okay.
I'm going to say it was about 2012, and I'm going to say, yeah, and it was like, I think we were all getting, we were probably getting together for like some table read or like a meeting or a hang at someone's house. I don't remember either, but I remember we ended up working together on a project. Mm-hmm. It was like a pilot presentation type of thing. We ended up working on that together shortly after we met. But it was a decade ago. And probably a little over a decade, maybe. And we were just fast friends. And then we went to go shoot Dear White People together in Minneapolis. Right. And then after that, we were all just still friends. And then we obviously...
Bonded through trauma.
Yes. Trauma. We have actor trauma bonds. And that's a really real thing, guys. Like, this actor life is insane. And so many things happen to you over the course of your career. And so many of the things that happen to us, we kind of experienced together. So we definitely had that bond. And then we got to do Dear White People, the series together, and, you know, be Joelle and Reggie. May they live on forever. All right, Marquise, let's go to the beginning. Oh, I want to know, where do you call home?
Ooh, I call Southern California my
home. Okay.
Because technically, I was born in San Diego, then moved up from San Diego to Inglewood for a second to pursue acting because I started when I was 4, and then moved to Bellflower. That if I had to name one place, I'd say proudly Bellflower, California, which nobody knows where it is. It's a crusty little dusty town, 562 Long Beach, Cerritos, Downey, Lakewood. You know, 91 Freeway, 605.
That was the most California thing you've ever done.
Yes.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could. Would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
What would you say Southern California has given you?
Sun. Sunshine. Weather, light, like Birdman. Because there were many times where I was poor and broke and all those things in Southern California. I couldn't imagine doing those things or being those things in like a New York or somewhere where the weather isn't consistently like, you know, 70 degrees year round. So it's giving me light.
Light. That's good. I guess that's true. You know, when you think of Southern California, you think of the palm trees and the sun and, you know, life can be dark and cold, you know? And so I love that you're saying that at times that it could have been that consistently, you were still able to get some light. That's beautiful. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
So we have another cool similarity, which is that your mother's family is from Newport News, Virginia. 757.
That's right. 757.
My mother's family is from Newport News, Virginia. So I also spent my summers with my Nana in Newport News, which is weird. We were probably like around the corner from each other playing at the same parks, and we just didn't even know. And then your father's side of the family is from Detroit, and my husband, Daryl's, so my family now is from Detroit. So I think it's cool that we have 757, 313 connections. Yeah. I think that's amazing. Yeah. Looking back now as a man in your mid-30s, talk to me about your relationship with your parents and how you would say it shaped who you are today.
You're over here trying to get people. You're here trying to get me. Interesting. Wow. So my relationship with my parents has changed drastically over the last 2 years. Two years. And the year before this incident happened in 2020, I said to a friend or two, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to know my parents as adults. I want to know their story, you know, as my mother as a grown woman, my father as a grown man. And I want them to know me as an adult, too.
Yeah.
A year to the day of me making that request or statement. And we got to know each other real good. But that experience was such a cathartic experience in the sense that, like, I saw the buttons that my parents installed in me by watching them and us interact with each other. And so I was like, wow, this is like an out-of-body experience. Like, oh, okay. So I was able to handle things differently, I guess, if I didn't have that awareness. But today we are good. We're good. Many changes, life changes. But through through the last like 2 years, I've learned just to forgive, you know, and to be kind to myself so I can be kind to others and no judgment. I mean, it's hard at times. So that is one thing. I mean, my parents have taught me so many things. My dad taught me how to be free. My mother taught me how to work hard. Almost.
No, that's good though, because I love that my father taught me how to be free and my mother taught me how to work hard. I think that that puts you at a pretty good in between, because it's almost like maybe you don't overwork because you're always going to need that. I'm not saying you haven't at times, but at least you have that balance inside of you where you're saying, I also need to just be me. I can't be held down by whatever the confines of the world or my career are saying that I need to be kind of almost suffocated by at times. Like, I need to always be me. And I would say, knowing you so well, and it's a compliment I've said that I appreciate people say about me, but you're consistent. You're the exact same Marquis I met 10, 11 years ago. You are the exact same now. You are, and I think one of those things is you're free. You've never come off as someone who maybe internally at times you felt like you needed to dim your light. But I want you to know, as your friend, you don't ever come off that way to the people that love you. Oh, it never seems that way to those in your orbit.
Got you. That's what's so interesting. Thank you. You know, I feel the same about you too.
Thank you.
I say, what's so interesting about that remark, in which I've gotten at times from people like, oh yeah, Marquis don't give up about nothing. Don't care about nothing. And then on the inside, I'm like, well, actually I do. Mm-hmm. And then like more recently realizing like the stuff that I actually do care about, or the stuff that has actually blocked me from being as free that I could. But a lot of the stuff that I felt like I needed to get free from, I got aware that only I can free myself from that. Like, nobody else can do that.
Having reached a beautiful point of healing with your parents and forgiveness and grace giving, do you feel lighter? Like, what about you feels different? I feel like it's something you have to be walking a little bit different in the world, having that load lightened a little bit or lessened maybe. So what does that look like or feel like for you?
I mean, to be honest, like, it's every day is a choice. Like, mm-hmm. my freedom is a choice every day. And sometimes I forget. Sometimes I take 5 steps forward and then I'll take 10 steps back and lock myself up in this cage thing. But I do know that when I do feel free or remember that I am free and a freestanding man and a person, mm-hmm. I can do whatever it is that I want to do and be responsible for, you know, myself and any consequences and all that. But I feel light. Mm-hmm. I literally feel it. I feel light. I feel joy. I feel happiness when I can, when I can remember that I am free. And then there's days when I look in the mirror and I'm like, damn. You look tired. You look old. I am worn down. And like, again, the last 2 years, only just recently getting to a place where I was like, okay, I don't feel broken. Or today, I don't feel broken. Or an acknowledgement of like, okay, here's this pain. Here's this thing that keeps showing up in a different form or whatever. And the quickest way to my healing is like through it, like literally through it. I can't go around it, can't go under it, can't go over it. I got to go through it. So now I'm like, I welcome it. Like, I'm not looking for more. I'm not looking for more. But I know it's just life. Like, this is more than anything, I'm just clearer right now in this moment. I don't know nothing. I have no idea about anything. But this is life. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. I'm grateful.
And it's cool. I think that that's kind of what your 30s are all about. I'm almost smack dab in the middle of mine. And yeah, a couple of months. Woo! I'm excited though. I love getting older. I'm like, I'm the person that's like into it. I just feel like it's such a blessing. Like, I'm getting older. Like, thank God. Thank you, God, for another year. But I think that, you know, the point of your 30s is to get to the point that you just said you got to, which is being able to say, this is life. Like, and that sounds, I just got chills when I said that. That sounds so like simplistic. Mm-hmm. But when I was 25, there was never a day that I was like, this is just life. I'm being seasoned. This is seasoning. No, not even when I was like 29 was I like, you know, it's tough, but this is just how it goes in life. There was like, you don't do that in your, I mean, maybe there are some rare special individuals who did, like Oprah was probably someone who was like 21, like, this is life. Like, she 13. Probably. Yeah, for sure. There's like love. Special, there's special individuals who like are able to have that type of awareness. But for most of us, I think that our, you know, adolescents, our teens, our 20s are all gearing us up to get to our 30s. And at some point, be able to say, this is life. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever is happening is okay. And having the awareness that, which is the hardest thing to do, that everything is for our good. Mm-hmm. Even the bad things. Mm-hmm. Even the things that are like, this is the most tragic, unbelievable, hurtful, stressful, ridiculous, insane thing that has ever happened to me in my life. Mm-hmm. There is good that can come from it. But it's mm-hmm. a choice, right? It's a mentality. It's a determined mindset to choose to look at the positive and not the negative. So I'm so happy that it sounds like we're both in a space, because we both have known each other when we weren't in a space to be able to do that, that we can both sit here and look at each other with a smile and say, it's just life. Yeah. You know, as we kind of like pivot to our careers, like, you want to have the expectation of you're talented, you're kind, you're hardworking, you're free, you're all of these things. So the expectation should be that, you know, we're consistent working actors. Mm-hmm. That's not how the business goes. That's not the...
That's for some of us.
Yeah, you know? And not for most of us, right? Like, it's not even some. Right. It's not for most of us. And that's a hard thing to reconcile. Like, truly, like, friend to friend, actor to actor, how do you deal with the legitimate, ridiculous ebbs and flows of what we do?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Okay. No,
fair. I mean, even, you know, there was like, even when we finished, when we wrapped Dear White People, so there was like a year and a half after we wrapped where I was very frustrated with the business, with this audition process. I felt like I was shooting self-tapes and sending them out into the abyss. I had many conversations with my reps. I remember one meeting, I was just on the Zoom with my agents and managers, was just sitting there eating, like, just listening. Like, something's got to change. I don't know what it is, but this ain't it. So what are we going to do? At one point, I was like, oh, ain't nobody else going to do it but me. So what is it that I want? Like, I try to be as specific as possible. And then also to try and shift my perspective instead of thinking like, ah, F this, F that. This is all a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? It's like, okay, well, let me just, what I want. I want to work with people that I love, respect. I like their work. People, you know, because now I just say no to stuff that if it's a person that, call it judgy, whatever, but I know about their character a little bit. I don't feel comfortable. I'm good. So let me find people that I want to work with and love. And let me start reaching out to people that I worked with before and whatnot. So I started doing that. And then a project came at the right time, at the right place. It was in alignment with pretty much everything that I said that I wanted for myself. And it was at the right time because I was about to be on OnlyFans. Trying to figure it out. We have bills to pay. We have bills.
You're about to be doing OnlyFans with your sweat rag.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Marquis, I read something, or heard, rather. I read something interesting, and I also heard something interesting. But I'm going to start with the thing that I heard about you.
Okay.
You said, I didn't really start looking at myself as an artist until Dear White People. Now, this struck me as interesting and quite shocking, having known that you've been acting professionally since you were four. You are an incredibly trained tap dancer. You are, you have a beautiful voice. You are an artist in every sense of the word. So I want to know, why didn't you look at yourself as an artist until Dear White People?
Interesting. Well, again, thank you for these nice things that you're saying about
Anytime.
Me.
I mean them.
Right back at you, clearly. We all know. Why did I feel that way? Specifically, and it was really like Dear White People, the show.
Okay.
I think maybe after the first season.
So 2016, 2017.
Okay. Yeah. Previously, it was like acting overall just felt like something to do. It was never something that I was fully committed to. It was just like, oh, I get to act. I get to do a commercial. I get to make some money. I get to help families sometimes. And it was just something to do. So even when I went to college, because I went to USC and it was public policy, planning, management, and business and whatnot, I was like, oh, this acting thing is just a hobby. And so Dear White People season one, I guess the character of Reggie just allowed me to dig into a piece of work that I never had that experience before. It was like all these factors and segments of my life combining into like a laser point focus with Reggie, and more specifically the show, because there was more to do. We had more to do on the show. And so, yeah, I didn't, yeah, even now, like even now, like I consider myself an artist, and now even when I say no to different things, or like as you talked about before, my dad taught me how to be free, my mom taught me how to work hard. Like sometimes that bites me in the ass. Well, not me, but maybe like reps, because I'm like, oh, I need a month off. I don't want to be this person who's out here doing movies back to back to back to back to back. I actually want to just like take my time. I don't want to be auditioning while I'm laser focused on this one project. I'm trying to get my all to this project, and then I'm gonna need a month break, and then, you know, find something else to do. But even now, like, I'm like, what kind of artist do I want to be? I woke up the other day and was like, yeah, I don't feel like my work really reflects the, I mean, it's not weird to me, but, you know, my off-centeredness of, you know, from society or whatever, my weirdness, mm-hmm. the work that I've done doesn't really reflect me now. So I have to make that stuff. I want to make that stuff. Let me do, you know, I want to be like make an album a year. So not an actual album, but like an artist who drops an album.
Totally. I know what you mean. Wow. That makes a lot of sense, actually. And you know what? I think I kind of agree. I woke up recently and looked at myself in the mirror, since we're talking about mirror talks. And I was like, Ashley, you haven't even scratched the surface. Mm. Like, I don't think people really know yet fully what I'm capable of. I think some people do. Like, I think you know, right? Mm-hmm. I think you know what I'm mm-hmm. capable of. I think you know that I know what you're capable of. I'm talking about, like, in the macro sense. Mm-hmm. But I think part of that I had to take accountability for is because I didn't know. So how can, quote unquote, the people know mm-hmm. if I didn't know?
Right.
But I'm not confused anymore.
Right.
I know.
Right. Right.
And I am really excited to see what my personal knowing will produce. Mm-hmm. You know, and how it will reach and attract others. Like, I'm really looking forward to that. And it sounds like you, and I think part of that is taking things into my own hands, like you're saying, like, you know, and right. the, you know, my podcast is an example of that, you know, like, I mm-hmm. think that this is a part of me that people are like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. This tracks,
yeah.
you know, yeah. that's always been inside of me, but I had to decide I had to connect this dot for myself. Mm-hmm. I couldn't wait for somebody else to connect it. I had to connect it for myself and then allow right. it to blossom as it should.
Right.
But there's no way that this could even be if I didn't know that it was possible of being.
Right. What does that feel like? How does that feel for you?
It feels good, but kind of like to take it a step further, the first word that came to mind was that I feel closer. And the thing is, I can't tell you what to. I don't know what I'm closer to. But I do know, one, that I'm not supposed to know, because then I can't give the glory in the way that I'm supposed to. I'm not supposed to know. But I also just know that I'm just closer to who I was always meant to be. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, we're talking about like the point of life. That's also the point. The point is that with each year, with each day, we're just supposed to be inching closer to who God created us to be, who we were purposed to become, mm-hmm. you know, to get closer to the people that we were meant to inspire. Like, that's, you know, people are like, what's the game of life? I think that's the game of life. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
And it's a game that should be fun to play, even in the tough times. It's like, you know, we always know that, you know, if you play something enough, and if you have your head in the game, I don't care if you're on the most losing team, you're going to win a game. There's going to be a game that you're going to win.
Right.
You
right,
might lose right. 30, but you're going to win right. one at some point, as long as your head is in the game and you're committed and, you know, you believe in yourself and whatever, you're going to get the W.
Right.
But
right.
you got to stay charged up and inspired through the L's. Like, that's the hardest thing to do. So
yes.
How would you say that you do that for yourself? How do you stay charged up through the L's in order to get to the W's?
I think now, because like previously in previous years or whatever, I think I would be like, okay, you know, you just got to stay positive. Just got to, you know, push through and not fail. And da-da-da. But I think now, how I, quote unquote, stay charged up through the L's is actually by not staying charged up through the L's, by just accepting the L's. And I don't know if I always recognize an L as an L. I feel like at this moment in my life, things are what they are. And the quicker that I can accept things as they are and not resist whatever it is, I don't know, the more present I can be. If it happened 2 minutes ago, it happened 2 minutes ago. If it happened 10 years ago, it happened 10 years ago. Like, what's actually happening for me now?
Yeah.
And just breathing. Just breathing. Letting go. Walking through. So, acceptance. Long answer, just to say acceptance of things as they are and doing my best not to judge whatever it is. Yeah.
And most importantly, judge yourself. I think, we're so judgmental of ourselves. Like, and ultimately, if you're incredibly judgmental of yourself, then it makes it easier for you to be judgmental of others.
Right.
Right. It's a muscle that you're building up. So it's easy. Right. It's easy to be a judgmental person if you're constantly judging yourself all day. Right. And you know, we're smart enough to know that doesn't do us any good. So I'm happy that you're in a place of, it just sounds like acceptance.
Yeah, I'd say so. Right now. And even as we're talking about ages and, you know, what the 20s were for and what the 30s were for, I'm looking at people that are like, oh, the 50s and the 60s. I can't even imagine us at 50, 60, if this 30 thing is like, oh, you know, you're just getting closer to yourself and letting go of this BS and all these shells that you built on and conditions and based on society and family and this. You're letting all that stuff go, and then you just keep letting stuff go as you keep getting older and wiser and, you know, growner, whatever. I cannot tell you. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait, but I can. Got no rush, but I can't even tell you. I mean, of course I can't, but I'm looking forward to those times. God,
yeah, it's crazy. We, my great aunt, who will be 91 this year.
Hey.
Aunt Babe. Shout out to Aunt Babe. She lives in Newport News. Okay. So
Newport,
she's in 757. Yes. And she is the most, I mean, she was always, I mean, my whole life she was like this. So, I mean, I guess when did I meet Aunt Babe? She was in her 60s or something like that. But, or yeah, late 50s or something like that. But she's always been the most, like, I don't care what you think type of person. Like, this is what I'm on. If you can't get into it. And, you know, I think growing up, we were always like, dang, Aunt Babe. Like, I mean, and she's even more that at, I mean, almost 91. But it's like, to your point, of course she's that way. Because she, 30 years before I met her, she was doing all these talks that we're talking about right now. And then she just kept shedding and shedding and shedding until she just got like, you know what? Can't nobody tell me to do nothing I don't want to do. Can't nobody say something to me that I don't want to hear. Like, and it's a beautiful place to be, because to me, it goes back to what we started with, which is she's free. Mm-hmm. She's free. Mm-hmm. Like, and if, And if you're at like the late stages of life, I think the point is to be as free as you can be, right? Like, that is the goal. If you're feeling constricted and holding on to stuff and, you know, confused and scared, all of those things, that's a different type of quality of life. But I have to look at Aunt Babe and actually be really inspired by how free and how she's 1,000% her every day. Like, every single day, nobody can come in and change her. And that is just that. I think, you know, what we're saying, we aspire to be that.
Definitely. For sure.
Marquis, when you look at your life, just like close your eyes, look at your life, what would you say?
Let me look at it.
If you were to pinpoint a moment that was what we could call a trials to triumphs moment in your life, make it or break it moment in your life, what was that moment and what did it teach you?
I guess technically, like, growing up and being homeless, not living on the street, but, like, living with family throughout different years. Family, friends, motels, hotels, just at different pivotal moments, even in, like, high school when I'm, like, applying for colleges, but I'm in this motel trying to type on this laptop where the internet or the ethernet or whatever is, like, going in, and I gotta go to the library and get this scholarship thing done. Because I had the most shame around it at the time, the most shame. Even in places where we lived, I never really wanted friends to come over, just because I'm like, oh, you know. Because also I was acting too, so yeah. In my head, I let the projections of other people, like, oh, you on TV, you this, blah, 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 which I would lie about and say that I wasn't on TV when they would literally, like, print out pictures, screen grabs, and, like, start taping it on walls. Like, this is you. Like, no, it's not. But I just had so much shame and embarrassment around my situation, around what, you know, was my family situation at various points, various different times. And so now, you know, just how I live now, how we live now, where we live now, like, owning a home and stuff was never, like, I didn't see it as, like, an accomplishment or whatever. And I also had, you know, a little survivor's remorse, like, when we first moved here. But I let that go. I worked through it. And, I feel like just to be alive today, through all the different things, all the different patterns of my life, looking back on, okay, I'm still doing this thing, or okay, what was that there to teach me? How do I get out of that, you know, moving forward? Oh, here it is again. Here's this thing showing up again. You thought you was done with it 20 years ago, but here it is. I think that's the triumph, to be here sitting with you right here, being able to breathe.
In your home.
You know, in AC, you know, it's a privilege. So that's the triumph for sure, just to be alive right here, right now, with you.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Marquis, what has been your takeaway from our conversation?
That I'm closer to letting go. And I have my moments. Everything is cyclical. So this was like a therapy session for me. It was like a morning pages, because I didn't get to do it this morning. I didn't. Every morning I like write out my, you know, my thoughts and stuff,
yeah.
And feelings and stuff. And I think this took the place of that. So thank you. I feel open. I'm free.
I love that. Yeah. No, that just brought tears to my eyes, that you feel closer to letting something that seems heavy go. You know, like that my friend is saying that he's ready to lighten his load. That brings me joy. And if the pod brought you closer to that, then that's just beautiful.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Unconditional happiness.
Unconditional happiness. Yeah. And if letting this go means you're getting closer to that, then, I mean, what a blessing. My takeaway is that you, to me, are an example of someone who's been in my life through so many stages of my life and my career. And in so many ways, we've grown up together. You know, I don't know, I probably met you, I was like 23, 24. And, you know, my takeaway is just to always hold on to people like you, to the people that have stuck around through all the seasons, have believed in you through all the seasons, have shown up for you in all the seasons, have prayed for you in all the seasons, haven't judged you through all the seasons, that you've had fun with through all the seasons. That's my takeaway, that you are that person. You are one of those people for me. And I'm just so grateful to have your friendship, Marquis. And I'm so grateful, too, that we got to share the experience of Joelle and Reggie together. I think that in so many ways for us to collectively, but also individually, it changed our lives. And I'm happy that we will always have that to talk about, to go back to reminisce about, to learn from, whatever it is. You are my partner in that for sure. So I just want you to know, I thank you. I love you. And I honor you, Marquis. Thank you so much for coming on.
Ashley, Blaine, Fantasy Takers, thank you. All the things back, the evolution of you and your career and your life. And I mean, like you said, we've been there, we've seen it, we've grown, we've learned, you know, all those things. It's very cool to see and to witness. And again, for you to keep shining your light and doing your damn thing, it's a beautiful thing to see. Always rooting for you, always support you. And
I know.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for this work that you that you're doing, and thank you for having me.
After the credits, the groundbreaking icon Marquis would have loved to star alongside. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by LWC Studios for OWN. The show's executive producer is Juleka Lantigua. Managing producers are Camille Stennis and Paulina Velasco. Editing assistants from Jordan Cowling, mixed by Kojin Toshiro. Assistant producers are Michelle Baker and Shanice Tindall. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, and we hope you do, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts to ensure you hear the next one. Marquis, who from history would you have wanted as a co-star and why?
Maya Angelou.
Yes!
Yeah,
yes!
Yeah, yeah.
So why Maya?
Because I love her voice. I just loved her spirit, her energy, her work, her craftsmanship, her just seemed like dedication to humanity.
Yeah.
Good, bad, messy, straight, like just humanity. The human experience.
Okay, Marquis, we did it. Thank you, my friend.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.